Praise God. Now, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me over to the book of 1 Peter. We'll begin here in the first chapter. And I think I'll read, just beginning with the first verse, I'll read just a little bit here. Chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if needs be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect the person, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, as that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's reading the whole chapter, the first chapter of the book, the first book of Peter. And I'd like to back up to about the 6th, 7th, and 8th verse, I guess, here. I'd like for you to notice that in the 8th verse, the Lord Jesus speaking here through the mouth of Peter and trying to encourage the saints, and not only they back in that day, but we to whom this epistle is written. If you'll notice here, he said in the 8th verse, Him having not seen, you still love him. You've never seen him, but you love him. I've never seen him as far as my own eyes having beheld him, but I love him. I love Jesus. Not having seen him, yet you love him. And because you love him and because you believe there's a God, then you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love him and I believe there's a God. And because of that, I rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then it says here in the sixth verse, wherein ye greatly rejoice. He said, though now for a season you have manifold heaviness. Have a lot of heaviness, a lot of weariness, but because we love him and believe that we're saved in him, then my brother and my sister, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Until the heaviness seems as nothing. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that these few trials and troubles and the different things that we have here, Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that this is as nothing in comparison to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And says here in the fifth verse, he said, we are kept by the power of God, which salvation, he says, is through the faith of Jesus Christ. We're kept to the power of God under the salvation. He said, the prophets, having the Spirit of Christ within them. Now, folks say, Brother Pat, you don't really believe that the Spirit of Christ was right back then, do you? I certainly do. Somebody said, well, I think with Jesus Christ that he just come alive over there when he was born into the world. But the Bible said before Jesus Christ was ever born of the Virgin Mary, it says that he, as the Spirit, was in the hearts of the prophets. The Spirit of Christ. That's why Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the joys that I had to be before the world ever was. Before there was ever a foundation of this earth, he said, Lord, I had joy with thee. Hallelujah. So then we see the Spirit of Christ was in the heart of the prophets. And then here in the seventh verse, which is really a beautiful verse to me, it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, he says here, might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you see in that verse what I see in it. But I tell you to me, in this verse where he says that your faith may be found under praise and glory in the day of the coming of the Lord, it thrills me through and through when I think about that. I wonder now this morning, if I ask you individually, took you one by one, what is the condition of your faith? I wonder what you would tell me. I wonder this morning what the condition of your faith is. I wonder when you came into this little building that we call a church here, this little tabernacle, I wonder what the condition of your faith was when you came in this morning. I tell you what, my faith is in God. Hallelujah. I've been talking to Jesus this morning, and I had faith to rise up in my heart. I've God to stir my soul, hallelujah, as he's done so many hundreds and thousands of times down through my pilgrimage to Christ, for the eagle renews his youth. Amen. The eagle renews his youth and renews his strength. Brother Jim, the Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. And I feel this morning that waiting upon God is the thing that the church world needs to do. When we get to the place to where we're not waiting on our paycheck, we're not waiting to get a new car, we're not waiting to get a new thought, but we're waiting on God. Then, my brother and my sister, we've got something. Hallelujah. I'm waiting on the end of my faith. I'm waiting on God. He said that it might be in that day when Jesus Christ appears that your faith might be found under praise. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have the angel of God come over when you stand at the judgment of the great God like he did when he went to Daniel? Came to Daniel and he said, oh, thou beloved man of God. Amen. Daniel, your faith held out. You had to fast. You had to pray. You had to stay there, Daniel. But your faith held out, glory to God. And angels been sounding praise and honor of the great and the mighty God of heaven. And they were sounding such great praise until God sent an angel down there. And the angel went over and said, Daniel, glory to God, Jesus loves you. Amen. Daniel, Jesus loves you. Your faith has been found to praise and to honor, even with the opposition and the trouble and being down here in Babylon with the oppression. Yet, Daniel, you stayed with God until the victory came. Hallelujah. Your testimony to the saints, your testimony to the angels, and God and the angels are singing the praise of your faith in heaven. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought. Old Gideon was depressed. He was cast down and he didn't know what to do or where to go. But there's one thing about it. He still had faith that there was a God somewhere. Hallelujah. And the Bible said when the angel of God came, that he stood there with Gideon and he said, Oh Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Hallelujah. He stood there with the victory in his soul, waiting for God to fight his battles and to give him the relief, hallelujah, that he's looking for. And he got it too. Praise God, he got it because his faith was found in the praise and honor and glory. Hallelujah. Peter said here, though the trying of your faith, I remember when Peter had denied the Lord Jesus and cursed him and acted as though he never knew God, acted as though he'd never been acquainted with Jesus Christ, and everything was black and dark, and Peter was about to just about ready to throw up his hands and quit. He had denied the Lord and didn't know which way to go. He had done like Judas. Judas denied the Lord, but Judas never went back and repented. But when Peter denied the Lord, he realized what he'd done, and he went back and repented, and he asked God for forgiveness, and God gave him forgiveness. I remember Jesus said to Peter, I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. My works has failed so many multiplied times. And I didn't know which way to go. But I could hear a little voice whispering from heaven saying, Be strong in the power of my might. Be strong in what I've done. And I've thought a lot of times, I said, God, whatever you are, that's what I am, God, in you. Hallelujah. If he's the great I am, so am I in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If he's without sin, without spot, without wrinkle, without remorse, so am I in him. Hallelujah. Whatever he is, that's what I am in the presence of the Almighty God. Amen. My faith might seem to waver, but when I think about Jesus Christ being manifested for my sins, then I say, God, whatever you are, that's what I am. Whatever you are, Lord, if your faith didn't waver, then my faith never wavered. Glory to God, if your faith didn't waver, the Bible said he was tried, found without spot, found without wrinkle, found without blemish, and tried in every way. But though he was tried, the Bible said, yet without sin. And today, though I be tried, because of Jesus, I'm found without sin, without speck, without wrinkle, without spot, hallelujah, because of Jesus Christ. My petition, hallelujah. Glory to God, why can I have what I want from God? Because he's my petition. Hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. This Holy Ghost, Peter said here, that's been sent down from heaven. Hallelujah. I know you, he said, it's revealed. And he said, in this you've got to find the end of the grace of God at the appearing of the revelation. Hallelujah. That's where he said, which is to be revealed in the last time, the latter days, which is the revelation of Christ Jesus. Glory to God. He said, the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire looking to. Some people don't believe there's such a thing as the Holy Ghost. In the 19th chapter of Acts, they said, well, we've not even heard whether there be so much as the Holy Ghost tonight. I thank God today there's a Holy Ghost, a real, genuine Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God that'll give you the revelation, that'll talk to your heart and stimulate you and bring you back to the wonderful biblical foundation of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Peter said here, the trying of your faith. The trying of your faith. He said it's like gold. like gold. It's tried. It's tried. You know, a lot of times I think of it like this. I would like to be healed. A lot of times when I've got a sickness, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivered them out of all of them, every one of them. And many are their troubles, but the Bible said God delivered them out of all of their troubles. Many are their sorrows and their heartaches and their passions, but God delivered them out of all of them. Amen. And I thought about that a lot of times. God, mind you, delivers us out of our troubles and out of our afflictions, out of our sorrows and out of our heartaches. Glory to God. I think about that. I say, Lord, I have problems, God. I have troubles. And a lot of times you go to God and you talk with God. And you say, Lord, heal me. God, heal me. And then maybe year after year you don't get healed. And then you think, Lord, what's the matter with you? Why don't you heal me? But my Christian friend, it's not God. It's not God. You say, it's just not God's will to heal me. That's wrong. It is God's will to heal you. Hallelujah, it's God's will to heal me. You say it's God's will for somebody to be healed but not me. That's wrong. It's God's will for you to be healed. Glory to God, and I'm not guessing when I say that. I'm not standing here trying to convince myself that it's God's will to heal me. I know it's God's will to heal me. Amen. Jesus said, Lord, I come in the volume of this book, Lord. It's written in me, I'll do your will. Hallelujah. And the Bible said he sent his word and his will heals. Hallelujah. You know what trouble is? You can't believe in something you don't know. You can't believe in it. You got to hear it, my friend. You got to hear it. And you can't believe in it unless you do hear it. You got to hear it with your ears. The Bible teaches it's got to be a preacher to bring it. And he's got to be sent of God to be able to expound it. But then when it comes, he said, faith cometh by the hearing of God's word. It comes by this word. And when you hear the promises of God, the word, then you hear. Then you have faith to believe because you know what it says. Hallelujah. If I preach it to you, or Brother Jim preaches it to you, or some other great minister like these brethren preach it to you, then my brother and sister in God, you know it because you hear it, then it's up to you to believe it. Amen. The Lord said, Peter, I don't want your faith to fail you. It's fine, your works has already failed. He could have said that, but he didn't. Your works has already failed, but I don't want your faith to fail me. My works has already failed me. So many hundreds of times that I can't count them. I've heard people say the blessings of God, so many I can't count them. My failures are so many I can't count them. But I tell you one thing. I believe in God. I believe in the word of the Lord. Now you say, but Brother Pike, how can I know that it's God's will to heal me? Because it's written in the volume of the book. It's written in the volume of the book. He said, where? When the man came and said, Lord, what must I do? Jesus said, I will that thou be made whole. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, you could if you would. He said, I can and I will. Glory to God. You could if you would. He said, I can and I will. Amen. He said, I will that you be made whole. Where is the will in the volume of the book? I will that you be made whole. Where in the, when the man came to Jesus and said, come and heal my, oh Lord, my servant's sick, I want you to heal him. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. When the man came to him about the little daughter, he healed him. I'd love for somebody this morning to show me one place where anybody ever called on Jesus and asked Jesus to come and heal him where he didn't go. Amen. Show me one place. A lot of times you have to reprove them for their sins and for their evils and unbelief. But he still had compassion and healed them, even down to the little children. Now then, the thing that I'm thinking of this morning, that our faith be found to praise and honor unto God at the appearing of the revelation. Hallelujah, to believe through all troubles. Can't you just imagine what it was like after Job's children had been killed? How many of you ever experienced that? How many of you ever experienced that? Where your little children was taken away from you. Now all of them killed. Job with sores from his head down to his feet. Suffering every day. And some of you complain. Some of you fail to come to church because you have a tummy ache, or have a headache, or have a nerve upset. But Job, from his head down to his feet, he's sat in the ash heap with miserable comforters, his prosperity gone and his children gone. But did he deny God? His wife breathing hot down his collar. But he looked to God, hallelujah, and he said to God, he said, I'll serve you. I believe in you, though you destroy me. He said, yet in the latter times, I'll still stand in the resurrection. In your presence, God, let the skin wounds devour my body. But he said, I'll still stand in the resurrection. In my flesh, I see God. Now then, your faith, my beloved brother and sister, where is your faith? When Jesus stood on the bow of the little boat, and when the winds was blowing and the storm come down, and the lightning cutting across his vesture, when all of his fellow comrades falls on him and had no faith, the courage of Jesus did not fail. He stood up, glory to God, and he looked in the face of the storm and the turmoils. Now as he stood in the face of him, he spoke to him and he said, peace be still. Turned around to the others and rebuked them because of their unbelief. And said, where is your faith? Where is your faith? My brother, we need faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible said that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, believing that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And then after receiving a son, God said, Abraham, take him up to the top of Mount Moriah. They're offering for a sacrifice. Abraham clave the wood. He took the child. He went at the command of God. He never relinquished his spirit. But he went to the top of the mountain. He laid the child down. Isaac looked at him and said, my father, we've got the wood. You've got the knife. You've got a place of sacrifice. He said, but I don't see one. Abraham's faith was strong. Glory to God, Abraham's faith never wilted. He had faith. He said, when he started from the bottom of the mountain, he said, I am the lad, we will go down to worship, but we shall return again unto you. Hallelujah. You say, but Brother Pike, we know that. That doesn't seem like such a great thing. But my friend, we know it because it's finished in our minds. But when Abraham went up there ill, he didn't know what was going to happen. He never could sit down and read the book and see where God provided the lamb. He just had to have faith that God would. We have the story of it today. But he went up the mountain. But before he went up the mountain, he said, I am the Lord of worship. I am the Lord will return again unto you. You say, how can you have faith like that? Because God said, Abraham, through thy seed Isaac, I will bless all nations. Abraham said within his heart, my God, you gave unto me. Job said, blessed be the Lord, for the Lord giveth unto the Lord. Take it, hallelujah. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Abraham went up to the mountaintop. Lord, thou givest, thou hast a right to take away. And he stood at the top of the mountain. He stood there. And when there wasn't a lamb anywhere, he brought back his knife for the kill. He meant to kill the boy that was on the altars. He brought back the knife for the kill. A man like Abraham, a man of God, would go up and take the life of his little child. My brother, he craved the word, didn't he? Didn't he cleave the word? He cleaved the word. He took the knife. He went the journey of about 3 days, whatever it was to signify the death of Christ. He climbed the mountaintop. He didn't let the men down there go with him because he knew those men would think he was crazy. And he was fearful of what he was doing. He said, you waited at the foot of the mountain. That proves to me, Brother John, he was going to kill that boy. That proves to me he had intentions to kill him. God, if you don't answer, I'll kill this boy because you said kill him. When Daniel was in the lion's den, you can believe one thing, that he meant to stay right there in the presence of God. Amen. With faith in God, till God answered.
when the Hebrew children was led to the fire and was about to be thrown into the fire furnace, they meant to hold their faith until they dropped headlong into the fire and they bled. Amen. That's where we get in trouble. That's where we fail. They took the fire test with their faith and it come through the fire. My brother, they got a promotion from God. A lot of us never get a promotion from God because we don't go through the fire. The Bible said the trial is your faith, my brother. Amen. Promotion, the Bible said, comes from God. When Daniel and the Hebrew children was tried, they got a promotion from God. Amen. When we're tried, our faith gives us a promotion. Abraham would have killed that boy, so sure as I stand behind the sacred desk. A few more seconds and he would have been dead. The knife in his hand, and according to the Bible, that knife raised back and was coming slashing down with the strength of a man upon a child. But the angel of God, as quick as a light, hallelujah, grabbed the hand of Abraham. He would have killed him. But the angel of God, it wasn't Abraham's strength that stopped. Abraham's hand was already coming down according to the Bible. But it was the strength of God that stopped it. Hallelujah. God looked upon Abraham and said, Abraham, your faith is found to praise and honor in the sight of God, such as man's faith has never been found. He said, because of this, Abraham, blessing, I bless thee. Multiply now, multiply thee. Abraham, you'd give me the last son that you got. Praise be unto God. God said, I'll give you the last thing you got, Abraham. Amen. I won't hold back nothing. He said, I'll make you the father of being that many. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, that's real. Hallelujah. I can picture old Abraham as the tears begin to trickle down his cheeks. Hallelujah. And he reached over and loosed this thing away from Isaac, and the voice said, Abraham, Abraham, move the child to home. Said, look, look. Abraham's faith had created a lamb. And did you say, Brother Pike, do you believe he created a lamb? Where could that lamb come from? I don't know whether God sent an eagle over here somewhere to pick it up and put it on the mountain. I don't know how it got there, but God, Abraham's faith created a lamb. There was a lamb standing in the bars and in the meadows to exemplify to us the crucifixion of the Son of God that took your place when you was doomed to die. Abraham, Abraham, be the child of home. There's your sacrifice. I imagine he stood Isaac up, put his arms around him, and said, son, didn't I tell you that God would provide a sacrifice for himself? There he is. Hallelujah, cut in the bushes. Hallelujah. Somebody said one time, why caught with the horns? Because it had to be without spot or without blemish. It had to take a hold of the horns. Hallelujah. And so it was that it was found to praise and honor before God. I say this, it's God's will to heal you. You might never have been healed. You might have been going along for 10 years. But let me tell you something. To really, sincerely, conscientiously believe that God loves you, that God wants you healed, and that God's no respect of person, it's God's will for you to be healed by your faith in God. Amen. Not by what I do or somebody else does, but by your faith. Peter said, this man's faith, when you say, hath made him whole. Jesus said, according to your faith, and I believe this with my heart, it's God's will to heal you. By his stripes you're healed. According to the 29th chapter of Deuteronomy, the Bible said that we were under the curse, but Christ being made a curse for us, cursed is everyone that held the bone tree. He lifted the curse that came on us in the garden. There is no more sin. There's no more sorrow. There's no more heartaches. That's the crossing in the Jordan for, or in the Canaan for us. That's the crossing over of Jordan right there for you and I. And today we have our faith in God that keeps us unto salvation, that gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. This faith in God. Some of you don't have faith in God because you ain't got enough patience to stay in the house of God. Amen. Or come to the house of God. Or want to be in the house of God after you get there. Amen. That's right. But this faith in God, this faith in God, hallelujah, in the word that says by His stripes I'm healed. Hallelujah, you can be healed. It's God's will to heal you. It's God's will to make you whole. I will that you be made whole, Jesus said. Amen, it's God's will. Now, here's what I believe. Though it might have been many years and you've never been healed, it's not because it wasn't God's will. It's been God's will from the beginning. You say, can you prove that? God said, Daniel, from the first day you started to pray, I heard you, but I couldn't get through. I couldn't get through. From the first day I heard you, but I couldn't get through. I couldn't get through. But when Daniel fasted, somebody said, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that God can't come and do to me what He wants to? That's exactly right. God cannot come to do to you what He wants to. He can't do it. There is a carnal mind of contrariness between you and God. That's why I broke down the middle wall of petition taking you all the way. It's between you and God that gives you a sovereignty, my friend, in God. You've got to believe for yourself. You've got to surrender for yourself. God give you a sovereignty. He's not an intruder. He won't invade your rights and your domains. You've got to invite Him in through the power of faith. And then He'll do for you what the desire of His heart is. It's always been God's will to heal. You say, but Brother Pike, in this age that we're living in right now, are you trying to tell me that God wants me healed when so many people are sick out young? I'm trying to tell you exactly that. You say, but you teach that God has His word in the good and evil. God creates the good and evil. And then tell me that with all the sickness and sorrows and as many people fasting and praying, it's God's will for them to be healed when they're not healed. Absolutely. It was God's will for men to be like Adam in the garden. But He had to process them. He had to process them to bring them to... Say, what if He had to process them to bring them to what He wants? Then it's His will for them to be processed. No! It never was His will for them to go through His suffering. That's the only way He could do it. What is His will? Look at the end of it. Look at the end of it. Look at the millennium. You see, God's will, look at Him. Don't look at this age of terror and sorrow that Satan is a prince of this world. This is Satan's doings. Powers and heartaches and troubles and sorrows. But look at the millennium. Look at the eternity. Look at the New Jerusalem comes down. That's God's will being made manifest. God's will done on earth is in heaven. When the kingdom comes, the millennium age. Amen. Is that right? Let it be done in your heart, my brother, through faith. For the kingdom has come within your heart. Amen. We can restore it to this earth through the powers of the sons of God, for the earth travails, groans, and waits for the manifestation of those atoms the Bible speaks of that shall dress the garden of God through their faith and power. Now then, I'm going to say this and try to close. I believe it's God's will to heal you. I believe it's God's will to save you. I believe that. Unbelief is the only thing that's standing between us. It's God's will, He said, above all things, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. It's God's will to bless your little children. It's not God's will to take your children away. This is why we want to stay away from condemnation. This is why we don't want to walk in the flesh to be condemned. This is why we don't want to condemn ourselves over the things which we allow. But we want to have faith in God, do everything to live right, everything to please God, that our conscience might believe. For John said that this is the confidence that we have in God, my brother and sister, that if we ask anything in His name, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, we have the petition that we desire of Him. This is our confidence if we walk right with God. Our hearts condemn us not. Then do we have confidence in God. If our hearts condemn us, God's greater than our hearts. He knows we're Christian, but the devil's got a lick at us. Amen. He's got a lick at us. Praise God. I saw him striking at Zale again last night. I saw him striking at you again last night, brother. As Zale tried to stand against the blows of Satan. And I saw Zale standing. Satan struck at him again. But I tell you what, glory to God. If a man will stand up, he won't be a coward, he'll beat the devil. Amen. The Bible said, resist the devil and you'll flee from me. Have faith. Don't be afraid. Jesus said, fear not. Glory to God. Don't let him make you shake. You say, but Brother Pat, when I think about losing my son, my wife, my children, I tell you this. I don't want to lose my wife. I don't want to lose my children. But glory to God, before I bow down to the devil, I lose every one of them. Amen. I'm not going to have fear. David said, my heart is fixed in God. Evil tidings shall not trouble me. I'm going to believe God regardless. Abraham went to lost his son, but he believed God. Job did lose his, but he believed God. Amen. I intend to try to believe God with all my heart. So then, my friend, it's God's will to heal me. Let me say this in trying to close. I'm trying to find a place right now to close out. Let me say this. At Calvary, God healed us. God gave you your healing without respect to person. He gave you prosperity and blessings without respect to person. And then he sent the ministry to tell you that he did it. And my brother, we would be a fool not to believe it or accept it. That's right. If I can accept it for my salvation, I can accept it for my body. If he can't heal my body, he can't save my soul. It's one and the same. Amen. It's one and the same. So we're healed. Completely healed. Get over the hump in your faith. Get over the hump, that little drag back. Well, you want to believe, but you can't believe because you're trying to believe in your head. Get over that and do something for God that'll cause your heart to begin to think that maybe God is towards you in favor. Not that that gives you the favor of God, but it turns your heart in because you feel like you got to do something to get his favor. Do the things that please him thereby you convince your heart. Then you're partakers of what he's already freely given you without charge. Amen. Maintain good works. May the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desire. Amen. Amen. Your faith, my brother and sister, your faith. Amen. It's according to your faith. I wonder this morning if you believe that. If you can get over that little hump and just say, my God, he's not lying. He's not lying. The foreknowledge of God has given me completeness in him. I'm complete in him. And he's not lying to me. He's not lying to me. It's God's eternal word. It's a finished product. Whether I ever enjoy it or not, it is a finished product in God. It is a finished product. And when Jesus hung there, he said, it is finished. It is finished. It's a finished work, my brother. It's a finished work, my sister. So go forth in the praises of God and enjoy it. Let me say this and I'll close. All of these things come upon you because you serve not the Lord thy God with joyfulness of heart. Be joyful in the work of God. Be glad when they say unto you, let us go to the house of God. Be glad to do something. Be a cheerful giver in God of your time, of your finance, of your prayer, whatever it might be, to God. Be glad to do that. Don't ever drag back and be dreadful, not want to come. God will cut your blessings off, and yet not God, because he freely giveth to all, but your unbelief will cut you off, because your heart will condemn you. Let's stand together. When we get to the place, my brother and sister, to where we sincerely with our heart do the best we can with God, then the church will move away from its make-believe, just as it moved away from its Egyptian unbelief. It will move away from its wilderness of make-believe, and it will go into a Canaan land of belief or of faith. Amen. We'll find out that you get what you want from God. Hallelujah. Let's sing the little song, Everything's Gonna Be Alright. I really believe that. I really believe that. Stir up your pure minds in God. I hope I stirred up your pure minds this morning.